This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. We want everyone, everywhere, to understand how to effectively live a victorious life. Not just talk it, but do it. And there is a key, and it's just come out in a book called Mastering the Silence by Doug Jones. I have him on the telephone. He's an instructor at Rhema Bible College in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he is an outstanding teacher. I personally heard him teach, but I have to say this book that's literally off the press has got a concept and teaches things. I've been teaching on this area for years, and I never saw it exactly the way Doug is teaching it. And there's an anointing on this teaching, and I tell you, it is key critical for your life. Now, Doug, on yesterday's broadcast, you were talking about the maintenance of our thought life, and you used as an example Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 13 to 17, which talks about putting on the armor of God, and it lists what the different pieces of the military armor are, and we focused on the pieces of the military armor rather than what the armor represents. And when you denuded the scripture of the military armor, because all Paul is saying is we're involved in a fight. That's why he used military armor. You don't have to technically look at what the breastplate was and what the helmet was. You have to look at what the ingredients are. And I asked you as we were going off the air, okay, if we put this armor on, which has to do with truth and righteousness and the gospel of peace and faith and salvation and the word of God, so what do we accomplish? What do we use this armor for?
Yes. This armor that we are to put on is nothing more than Bible knowledge. Put on what you know about the truth, about what you know about righteousness, about what you know about the gospel of peace, faith, your salvation, and the word of God. I had the Lord say this to me, Sid. He said, knowledge and its proper use wins battles. I want to say that again. He said, knowledge and its proper use wins battles. Paul is speaking of a battle here. He's talking about, he's referring to warfare terminology, combat phrases. And Paul says the tools that we are to use to win this battle that he's speaking of is the tools of Bible knowledge. And the Lord said to me, knowledge and its proper use wins battles. If that be the truth then ignorance and victory are impossible roommates. It's very interesting to me that it's impossible to win victories within our lives and be ignorant. You remember Hosea 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, for my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The word destroyed is combat terminology. It implies that a battle raged, the individual fought with all of his efforts, but he lost and he was destroyed. But on the flip side of this, it implies also that had the individual had knowledge and used it properly, he would have won the battle and not been destroyed. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13, there's a very interesting scripture that talks about the same issue as Hosea 4:6. Isaiah 5 and verse 13 says these words, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitudes are dried up with the thirst. And Hosea says you're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. In Isaiah 5 and verse 13, you're gone into captivity. Captivity is, once again, combat terminology. It implies, once again, that a battle raged, the individual was lost, and he was dragged into captivity. Well, he was dragged into captivity because of a lack of knowledge. And yet, on the other side, the Lord said to me, knowledge and its proper use. Had these individuals had knowledge, they would not have been destroyed. They would have not have gone into captivity. And if we think about it, knowledge in its proper use wins battles. Jesus used the knowledge that he possessed in Luke 4 with the wilderness experience as he was confronted by Lucifer. He used Bible knowledge. He used what he knew, and he used it properly, and he used it against the enemy, and he said, it's written. It's written. It's said. And so it's very clear to us that Jesus knew the importance of taking what you know and using it properly. Jesus said these words in John chapter 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's the proper use of what we know that'll set us free. And so we as Christians need to learn how to use what we know about our righteousness, about our salvation, and use it properly. Now, the issue is this. What do we use our knowledge against? According to Paul in Ephesians 6, we are to use this armor to stand against the wiles of the devil, to withstand in the evil day, and to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. But said, the question comes to me is this. What are the wiles? What is the evil day? What are the fiery darts?
It's different than what most people think.
Yeah, it really is. Because the context of this passage does not reveal to us what the wiles are, what the evil day is, and what the fiery darts are. So the only way that you could determine what these are is to go back into the history of Lucifer. Observe him approaching mankind. Observe him confronting mankind. And see what type of weapons he uses against them. And so that's what I did, Sid. I went back through the Word of God and found places where he is confronting human beings, confronting mankind, and I found that what he hurls at us is nothing more than thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And Sid, when I saw that, I thought, glory to God. What Paul is telling us to do is we are to take this Bible armor and we are to use it for the maintenance of our thought life. Sid, if it wasn't for thoughts, there would be no adultery. If it wasn't for thoughts, you wouldn't have husbands walking out of homes and leaving wives and children behind to fend for themselves. Thoughts always precede action. There is not a thing we can do without first thinking about it. And so when a person is consumed with worry, when a person is consumed with depression, it's the result of a failure to maintain their thought life.
But, you know, this gets expanded as I read your book, and then I even expanded it in my mind. Someone that is having a problem with overeating.
Yes, sir.
Watching television.
Yes, sir.
Someone that is having a problem with bridling their tongue.
Yes.
With any of the areas that Christians pride. All of these areas, as I began to read your teaching, someone that's having a problem with getting healed, receiving their healing.
Yes.
This is so basic and so wonderful once you understand this concept. I know I keep saying that, but you used an example in your book of how it starts with a thought.
Yeah.
When you were a child. What was it, the donuts?
No, it was the can of free.
Oh, no, I just remembered. It was the potato chips. That's what I read.
Yes. Every incident that we've ever gotten in trouble with as a kid started with a thought. And what happened was very quickly, I knew that the neighbor next down the street, I knew that he stored Lay's potato chips in the garage. He was a distributor for them. And so what I did was is I schemed a plan to play hide-and-go-seek with his children. And so I counted in the garage, and while I was counting, waiting for them to hide, I consumed some potato chips. And that scheme occurred because I failed to maintain my thought life.
Yes, but although it occurred, you got your potato chips, but something else happened that you did not plan on.
Yeah, what happened was the distributor found out about it a couple of days later and came down and talked to my parents. And when I came home from school, that can of potato chips was sitting in the living room. And I found out that my parents were not as thrilled with Lay's potato chips as I had been. And so I ended up going door to door, knocking on doors, looking for lawns to mow, looking for jobs to do in order to earn the money to repay that money for that can of chips. But it all came back to if I had just maintained my thought life.
You know, that's kind of someone's thinking, well, that's just so what about this kid stole some potato chips.
Yeah.
But what happens when a pastor is seduced by a witch who's come into the church specifically to seduce the pastor, and he falls and his family is destroyed, his church is destroyed, and the concept is the same.
It all started out with a thought. It's the same thing with lying to a friend. It's the same thing with unforgiveness, refusing to forgive. It's the same thing with suicide. Sid, I just recently had a friend of mine commit suicide. And whether I like it or not, that all began with a thought. You see, what's interesting to me, Sid, is this, is that when a person is controlled and dominated by worry, they're simply revealing to the world that a battle raged within their minds and they lost. When an individual is dominated by depression and it begins to control their activities, it's simply revealing to themselves and to the world that there's been an inward battle and they lost. This issue is a huge issue.
Let me ask you a question. Everyone knows about that the devil puts thoughts inside of people, but you point out that's not the only place that we get our thoughts from.
No, our thoughts can come from three sources. Our thoughts can come from the wicked one, and we'll talk about that maybe next show, but your thoughts can also come from your eye gate and from your ear gate. And I went throughout the Word of God, and I found places where people saw David with Bathsheba. David saw in 2 Samuel 11, verses 2 through 5, David saw Bathsheba taking a bath. And as a result of what he saw, thoughts came into his life that should have been rejected, that should have been, refused. But he went ahead and embraced those thoughts. And here, once again, thoughts always precede an action.
You know what I'm thinking? Fairly recently, we had the Super Bowl, and everyone read about it because a woman took her clothes off, so to speak, in front of the public. And if someone were to see that and not know how to handle it, that could be the opening the devil's looking for.
Very much so. Very much so. And then we have people in the Word of God whose thoughts came to them by what they heard. Numbers 13 and 14, the Israelites, and they're waiting for the words to come back from their 12 spies. 10 of them came back and gave back an evil report, said it can't be done. 2 of them came back and said it could be done. But they accepted the words of the 10 and embraced those thoughts and allowed.
Oh, we're out of time, Mishpocha. Oh, do you need this book? Because he tells you how to have the victory in this area, how to maintain your thought life. We're making it available for a donation of $12 or more, Mastering the Silence. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzi, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.